That's one reason why I don't want to be rich, you know. So just let you know. And then he sums it up this way, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, I've heard many times in one of the bands I listened to back in the 70s, Pink Floyd had phraseology in their wording of a song is, money is the root of all evil. Well, let's do this correctly and look at the verse. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I got to carry my book because I'm not too good with my Greek. So, the love of money, the Greek word there for that love, don't bail on me now. That's the Greek word, philagaria or something. I don't know how to pronounce that correctly, but you can read it there for yourselves. So that's the Greek word there for love, and has to do with this desire for the money. I mean, it implies itself in that direction. It's a love. Now, with that said, this is just going to be some interesting facts before we get into the message. Turn to Ephesians 5. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, in verse 28, says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That word love there, let me write this, is boy, y'all are quiet. Adelphos. And that Greek word there is used as love, but it's also used as brother in your Bible. So when you kind of put these words together, this love of money, and this word, which is love, but it's brother, like a brotherly love you'd have for a brother, you can see how we get a particular city in the United States, Philadelphia. That's where Philadelphia came from, the city of brotherly love. So those are just interesting facts to see how love is. There's a lot of variance in the love in your Bible. Now, before we go into the message, we're going to do a little side road here because I need to do this to get into the message and bring it to a conclusion. With that said, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Just kind of laying all the groundwork right now. Matthew 24. Now, this is a period of time before Christ went to the cross. It's towards the end of his ministry, and he's telling them of the times that they're going to go through. And nothing in Matthew 24 is good. It's all troubled times. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but I want to give you this understanding of what he says here. In Matthew 24, look down in verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, what would the end be? Well, it has to do with the life of an individual. Look in verse 9. Go up to verse 9. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall what? Kill you. So they knew they were going to die for the Lord. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then when you come down to verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Well, then they had an end time. It wasn't just generally going through a day, the end of the day. It was talking about them giving their lives for the faith. And so he says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The word endure has to do with to preserve, remain, abide, not recede or flee unto the end. So let's do our chart here. The beginning of Christ's ministry to his death. Well, prior to his death, this is what we're reading, the account there in Matthew 24. He's meeting with the apostles and telling them what's coming up. One of the things that's about to face them can be seen in verse 15. So in Matthew 24, look in verse 15. He says, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." So they basically, what he's talking about there is the Antichrist that is to come. The devil manifested in the flesh on this earth is coming. It is the abomination of desolation. So the ministry of Christ would lead up to his death. However, he's warning them that after his death, they're going to be in the time of the tribulation. Now, that would have worked out that way had Israel received the preaching of the apostles over here. After Christ's death, his burial, and then his resurrection, Peter begins preaching in Acts chapter 2 about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's alive today. You killed him, but he's alive. God's given them a chance to repent and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so consequently, had Israel done that, they would have gone into the time of the tribulation, and the Antichrist, the abomination of desolation, would have risen up at that time, and these people at that time had to keep the faith unto the end. Hence, endure. All right? Continue, remain, abide. He that endures to the end. So they would have had to endure unto the end. The problem was Israel didn't receive the apostles' preaching in Acts chapter 2, and God ultimately cut that program off, and so he put in here, within these parameters, what we are living in today, the dispensation of the grace of God, which not many people know about that, unfortunately. And so what it did, it took time in this world, time, years, and it spread it out. So it put this time of tribulation off. They didn't go into it. These people died in faith, the ones that endured to the end, because there was still great persecution at that time. And so it's going to leap over, and when we're out of here, the tribulation will resume at that point in time. Okay? So the point I'm making here is they're enduring, because this is going to apply in the message that I've got concerning love. Now, with that said, turn to Ephesians and go to Ephesians chapter 3. And what I want to focus on is within those parameters there is the dispensation of the grace of God. Several reasons. One, the most important reason, is the fact that we're living in this time, so it's good to understand the doctrine for this time. Yeah, there's a lot of teaching outside of it, but we need to understand what is applicable directly to us. And so the love that I'm going to talk about is directly applicable to us. In Ephesians chapter 3, look in verse 17. He tells these Ephesians that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height. Now watch this, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Him. You can have a loving individual that's born into this world. Their character is a loving type character, which is good. It's a good thing to have that. However, the love of Christ passeth knowledge. So there's another love available to you that you never could understand on your own accord. So God is going to describe in the Bible for us that love. Now, that love that we're reading there in verse 19, the love of Christ, the Greek word, you may have heard it, is agape. That's a God love. So when Christ died, was raised up, and Paul got the message of the gospel, when an individual believes, trusts in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, The Spirit of Christ is within that individual. And being within that individual, you get something you never knew you got until the Bible told you about it. And that is, with Christ in you, you have the agape love. That's why he says that you should know the love of Christ. So, Christ in us, we have this love within us. It's not that it's not attainable, and it's not how you're born in this world. When you trust in Christ and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ is in you, the agape love, which is part of God, it's God's love, is in you. So everybody in here that's saved, you have it. You have it. It's just a matter of you utilizing it. Now, with that said, turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now this agape, in the English word, many times agape, when they took the Greek and translated to English, it shows up as love. Agape shows up as love. But it doesn't always show up as love in your Bible. The King James writers changed from agape to another word, and that's what we're going to see in 1 Corinthians 13. Look in 1 Corinthians 13 and in verse 1. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they will fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Now what's interesting here is the Greek word agape was translated as love there. However, the King James writers, when they saw agape, they were inspired, because I believe the King James book is an inspired book. They took the word agape and they changed it to charity. So it comes from the same Greek word, thus having the same meaning. It's God's love. And what Paul is writing there shows the importance of incorporating that charity that you have within you into your daily life. It shows the importance. Now, Paul writes here, he says in verse 4, "Charity suffereth long." Now think about that. Charity suffereth long. Well, the description there is a long length of time. The suffering there is based upon your day-to-day trials and tribulations. Anybody got any of those? I mean, you got anything you're dealing with? You got anything that presses against you? You're stressed, you're upset, you're depressed, you're sad, you're full of anxiety? Anybody here besides me? Anybody? Put me in a rubber room, 5150, you know? So, this charity enables you, it suffers through those things. In other words, what it's saying is, those things should not move you where the agape, the God love that's in you, cannot still be revealed. In other words, the situations that are in this life that do that to you should not overwhelm you to a point to where you lose the reflection of the agape love that's in you. And many times we do. Many times we fly off the handle, we lose control of ourselves. Folks, the best thing to do when these paramount situations come is just to relax and trust in the Lord. Now, I know that's easy for me to stand up here and say. What I'm saying is, many times our emotions are tweaked by many things and they go over the top, and so we respond. How? Over the top. And so consequently, we get an over-the-top response to a situation that had we just stayed calm, relaxed, let a little time go by, let the emotion go down, the reaction would be different. It would give the Spirit of God that's in you with the agape love, the charity, time to work out. Because folks, this flesh is strong. This flesh wants to say how things are going to go in your life. I know, because I got it. I got it. But the thing is Paul is trying to get to these Corinthians, as he does with us by writing this in Corinthians, that the charity is always there and shows really the strength of this love. How strong are you in God's love? How strong? I mean, do we think if we can pick up a toothpick with God's love, we're strong? Or how about the 100-pound barbell of love? What proves our strength? It's suffering long. It's the day-to-day battles that you go through. And folks, this is what church is about. It's about coming together and us kind of getting away from our daily thing at this time of the morning and coming and hearing the Word of God and being strengthened by the Word of God. That is the purpose of church. We've had many that have come here that have seen the truth. They're saved. They know the Word of God rightly divided. And something comes up because we're a bunch of people with character and personalities. And what's that other thing? Oh, big mouths that tend to open up and say things that we shouldn't say. And it's emotional driven. And rather than sitting back and letting the time go by, space from the situation, get a grip, and realize that there's some love that needs to be applied here. We don't do that. We knee-jerk react to the situation, and boom. And folks, it's like in the attorney world, when you say something in a court of law, you can't unring the bell. Once that mouth says it, it's out there, okay? Yeah, you do the "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it" thing. But the hurt is a hurt, okay? Put the Band-Aid on, but it's still it's a sore. Hopefully it scabs over and move on. The problem is we have people that were here that are not here. And yeah, there can be blame for some that are here that said or handled a situation incorrectly. But at the same time, let's flip this around a little bit. You've got to look at the importance of a fellowship. The importance of a fellowship is us to gather for our own well-being of the fellowship, of the faith. The importance of a fellowship is to have a local area where it's structured, whereby your public out there, your citizenry, can come and hear the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. That's our purpose. If charity suffereth long, and someone goes through the trial of a situation within the church and says, "I've had enough, I'm leaving," my thought is, I know you have a sort of justifiable reason for being upset, but where is your charity towards that individual? Where's your charity towards the one that offended you? Where's your charity towards the situation, the mental thought process that you're having? Where's your charity suffering long in that? And that's what this is about. Charity suffereth long. Charity suffereth long. And so Paul goes through this entire chapter of charity. Whenever I do a wedding, I always use 1 Corinthians 13. Because the core of a marriage and its sustaining length is going to be based upon love. Period. That is the core center purpose of a marriage. Love. Charity. Does it suffer long? Does it endure? And that's what he talks about in verse 7. Look in verse 7. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Where did we see endure earlier? Matthew 24. He that shall endure unto the end. He that shall endure unto the end. Enduring is a lot like suffering. The difference is that endure goes to a specific point in time. You see, endure over here was where? To the end. Well, what's the end to us? When we trust in Christ, what is our end? It is either the day we die or the rapture, which I hope comes this year so we can all go home, right? So Paul uses charity about how it suffereth long, which covers you day by day, incorporating charity day by day. But it also endureth. In other words, Paul's telling you that this charity that I'm talking about never faileth. It will take you to the end. Because not all people made it to the end. Paul talked about a guy, when he wrote to Timothy, he talked about a guy named Demas who was with him in the ministry. You know what he said to Timothy? He said, Timothy, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present evil world. Well, folks, I can tell you, the love he has was not an agape love. What kind of love was it? It was this love, the love of money. It was the love of this world. It was the love of life. That's the kind of love that Demas had that overtook him, and he had a desire to go into the world rather than incorporate the agape, the charity love, into his life on a day-to-day basis, yet incorporate the charity in his life unto the end. Charity suffereth long, it also endureth. It'll go to the end with you. It's just a matter of learning how to incorporate it into your life. For Paul says this. Look in 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I think I want. In 2 Timothy 3, look in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, but charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I what? I endured. What do you think helped him endure it? The charity. But out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Well, that's not good news, but it's a fact that you can endure it. Now watch, endure. I endured them. You remember endure. Keep in mind, endure goes to the end. So we're talking about the end of your life, or if we happen to go to the rapture. Endure to the end. Charity suffereth long. That's day to day. But enduring is talking more of that end time. When the end of your life has come, I endured them all. So in the context of writing to Timothy, look in chapter 4. Verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. What's he talking about? The end of his life is at hand. He says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I have fought a good fight. Then he says, I have finished my course. You know what he's saying there? Charity allowed me to suffer through the day-to-day things, but charity also gave me the ability to go unto the end. Just like any other race course, there's a finish line. Folks, we all have a finish line. It's death. We're all going to go there. If we're saved, then we have charity to carry us through. All right? It's there. You don't have to muster it up. It's there. You've got to be willing to put this flesh aside and incorporate it into your life. Look what Paul says back in 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I didn't want that. Let's see if I wrote it down. No. Yes, 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. Everything you do, let be done with charity. And folks, it's all a learning process. As you learn it, you incorporate it, you adapt more in your life to having charity towards others. It's not a natural thing. You're not born with it. Yeah, there are people that are born with a level of love, a level of brotherly love, but they're not born with this love, the agape. You only get this love based upon trusting in Jesus Christ and what He did for you, and that He died for your sins, was buried, and God raised Him up. That's how you get this love. Now, look at two passages, and we're about to close up. Turn to Hebrews. Over in Hebrews. You see, there's this, I've been faced with, you know, those that came here and for some reason they leave, not going into specifics, and I talked to them, I'm like, well, why'd you leave? Well, so-and-so said this and that and the other. You know, it's kind of a romper room, a babysitting deal. I'm like, oh, come on, you can take it better than that. And then I hear, and you know, besides Mark, I can stay at home and read my Bible and pray. And I think, have I ever preached a message that you come to church and you don't have to go home and read your Bible and pray? Have I ever said that? Have I ever implied it? Matter of fact, you need to go home and read your Bible and pray. You see? I mean, it's not like here's a choice. I either go to church and I don't read and study my Bible and pray at home, or I don't go to church and I do read and pray and study my Bible at home. That's not the options. That's not what it's about. And so the church has a very special place, always has, always will, for believers. It's been there. There is an undercurrent, and I picked this up last year, of there are those, and they're saved, they don't have a church home. They just live in an area where there's not a local Grace Church there. And so they're espousing, sort of like justifying themselves, saying, well, you don't need a church to study and read your Bible. I'm in 100% agreement with that. Paul didn't have a church home when he was in prison either, but he had script with him that he read and he prayed while he was in prison. But if you have the access to a church, there's a reason for getting together. There's a reason for the assembly. And yes, it's about us, but more importantly, it's about people who are out there, visitors, that God knows if they heard this truth, they would believe it. Because this is not everywhere, folks. This isn't a McDonald's on every street corner. I mean, this is a rarity you got here because they're just not rightly dividing the word of truth today. And it's not going to get any better. I mean, they're not going to come around to the truth. So we got our work cut out for us. But concerning the love and what have you, look in Hebrews 2. In verse 9, but we see Jesus, so the context of the individual is Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Amen. So he suffered unto the death. Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 12, let's just start in verse 2. That's pretty much all we need. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we saw he suffered unto death. Before he went to the cross, he was arrested and he was brutally treated. He was suffering through that point in time. Then they nailed him on the cross and he endured the death on the cross. The cross is described by historians as being one of the most brutal manners in which to kill an individual. It was so painful, it was slow, they suffocated, and there are reports from that time that before the men would die, the ravens would gather and start pecking at the eyes of those that were hanging on the cross. Now, I know this doesn't set well with lunch coming on, but I want you to understand, when it says that Christ endured the cross, it wasn't some little ornament or some little thing I can draw up here and give you the full description of what he's enduring. He was suffering throughout the persecution by the Roman powers, then he endured the cross. The word endure implies an ending. And folks, that was his end. He gave up the spirit and died on that cross for us. What do you think allowed him to suffer and to endure? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and we'll close with this. Look back in Ephesians 5. What was it that caused him or allowed him to suffer and endure? Ephesians 5, verse 25. Another verse I read when I do weddings is in Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also what? Love the church and gave himself for it. So he suffered based upon agape love. He endured based upon agape love. So what was the driving force in Christ's sacrifice for our sins? Love. Love. So wouldn't it stand to reason that if we trust in him, that we would incorporate part of his character which is in us, which would be love? Because that love, which is charity in 1 Corinthians 13, suffereth long. It'll never leave you hanging. It also endureth. It's there to the end. This thing, oh, you lose your salvation. No, not if charity suffereth long and endureth, goes to the end. That means that the Spirit of God that has this agape love is in you unto what? The end. The bottom line is, folks, I know, there's more power within us than we utilize. We don't utilize it. You know, there's something about the flesh, and I think it's pride. It's pride in the flesh. You know, I want to stand for myself. I'll not humble myself and bow down and cater down to a situation or a person by this thing called love. Some people just don't do it. I pray that we will. We'll incorporate it because it's there. I'm not asking you. You don't have to get a degree. You don't have to learn your Bible more. You don't have to go home, read, and pray, even though I encourage you to do that. It's there. You just utilize it. When the situations come about you, utilize the charity that's within you all. Okay, that's it. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.
Thank you.
Lord, we thank you for your word and the truth that's revealed to us and how it can just strengthen us in our daily lives and show us that our love that we have always comes short compared to the love that's in us from you, and that we learn to love one another with that agape love and not the love of the world. And that way we can get through this life in a very happy and joyous manner and not be controlled by the situations that come upon us in a day-by-day process. And we pray for any that's here or watching this broadcast that if they've never trusted in Jesus Christ, they do so today, for Christ loved us and gave himself for us so that we could be saved. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, thank you all.